We're in a series titled Faith and Reason. We live in a world where science has become the answer to everything, supposedly. There is a bit of a thought that if science can't prove it, then it can't be real. Now, last week, we thought about that. We thought about science. Where does Christian faith fit with science? How does this weigh up? We've got people telling us that science has made God obsolete. All of these scientific discoveries have proven that we're just a bit deluded, really, for believing in a God. But we saw last week that that's not the case, that science itself will lead us to a point where the logical next conclusion, the next step, is to say, well, the reason for that is because of God. So we can sit here as people of faith, as Christians. We can be confident that we're not just believing in unicorns or leprechauns or some other corn of any other sort. It's not just wishful thinking that there might be a God out there, that science will actually point to the fact, without coming to the conclusion, because they can't, that faith and a belief in God is a very reasonable conclusion. Now, we're not looking at science today, which will be a relief for a lot of you. I got a headache trying to wade through all the information last week and trying to get it all right. Today we're looking at philosophy. So that's just simply made my head spin. Philosophy just goes round and round and round and round in circles. And it's not my thing, neither is science. I said that last week, that I'm no expert in either of those fields. I've simply tried to take what some highly qualified people have said and make it such that we can understand it. So today we're asking the question, remember, this is philosophy. So this is sort of thinking about things, and but what if, but what if, but what if, but what if, and this is, and this is, and that is, and that is. We're going to ask the question, how did the universe begin? So what are the thoughts? What's the thinking behind all this? As we toss ideas around, and we thought about science last week, and we thought about a few other things, how did the universe begin? The question's been a topic of debate for thousands of years, probably since the first man could communicate anything. Maybe that was Adam, I don't know what your thinking is, but how did all this begin? The ancient Greek philosophers of Plato and Aristotle believed that matter, we thought about that a little bit last week, everything is matter. They believed that matter was eternal. So way back, I think that was 3rd or 4th centuries BC, philosopher Aristotle and Plato, they were debating all of this. So they came to the conclusion, well, matter is eternal. It was always been there. They said that maybe there was a God who gave order to the matter, because the matter is just little specks of stuff that don't look like anything. But God sort of got it together and made it what it is now, what we understand. But they said God didn't create the matter. It's always existed. God just gave it order. Now, this is in complete contrast to the Hebrew thought from Genesis 1:1 in our Bibles. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Hebrew language, there's no word for universe. So we talk about the universe, but that's sort of the scientific word that we have in our culture. We look up in the stars and we read all these things about the universe. There's no word for universe in the Hebrew language. So they use the phrase, the heavens and the earth. And it's therefore an accurate interpretation of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to say, in the beginning, God created the universe. That's exactly what the Hebrew writers were trying to express. Now, the point of Genesis 1:1 is that God created everything that exists without any pre-existing material. So that when we think about Plato and Aristotle, well, the existing material was already there and God sort of just formed it and shaped it and gave it the form of the universe that we understand. Well, the Genesis is saying, no, that is not correct. They are saying that God created everything that exists without any pre-existing material. That's followed through in the New Testament, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. So for Plato and Aristotle, God made the matter in their thinking about all of this stuff. God made it. There was nothing else, and God made it. So over the centuries, those two contrasting thoughts began to clash. We've got this thing, well, you know, how did the universe come to be? We've got the Hebrew thought, well, God, there's a God and God made everything. And then we've got this other thought, the Greek philosophy, well, you know, it's always existed, so therefore God, maybe there was a God that just put it all into place. In the 12th century, a man by the name of Al-Ghazali became the champion of the Christian view, even though he wasn't a Christian. And his reasoning had three simple steps. He said, whatever begins to exist has a cause. So something caused it. The universe had a beginning or began to exist. Therefore, the universe had a cause. Or in other words, something caused the universe to be. Now, because this is philosophy and philosophy goes round and round in circles and sort of you sort of never end up with a final point, it sort of just keeps going round and round. I'm going to take the second premise first. I think that's the easiest one. We focused a little bit on that last week. The second premise is the universe had a beginning. As I mentioned last week, there's no doubt that the universe had a beginning. And back in Aristotle's day, they didn't have all the modern science and all the telescopes and all that sort of stuff, all the stuff that they used to determine what goes on in the universe. They didn't have that knowledge. They didn't have all that equipment. Aristotle couldn't tell whether the universe had a beginning or not. But last week, modern science, it doesn't debate this anymore. Modern science is just concrete in its belief that the universe had a beginning. There's no argument about that anymore. As I mentioned last week, the determining factor is that the galaxies, they're moving apart, they're separating. The universe as we know it, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because these galaxies are moving out. And if you go backwards and you start to calculate, well, if we keep moving these galaxies at a particular pace and we keep moving them in, we rewind it all, we get to a point where there's nothing. We get to the common language, the Big Bang. There's nothing, bang. Then there's everything. So we know that science does not argue anymore that the universe had a beginning. All matter, energy, physical space and time came into being at the moment of the Big Bang. We like to use the word creation. I don't care what word you use. It depends who I'm talking to, what words I use, but talking about a beginning of the universe. The British physicist P.C.W. Davies, he explains this. He says, the coming into being of the universe, as discussed in modern science, is not just a matter of imposing some sort of organization upon a previously incoherent state, but literally the coming into being of all physical things from nothing. Modern science doesn't agree with Plato and Aristotle that God took what was already there. Modern science says there was a point in time when there was nothing, and then something happened, and the end result was the universe. And all theories that try to deny a starting point for the universe has failed. As I said, it's not a discussion anymore. Over the last 100 years, there's been enormous advances in astronomy, astrophysics, those fields of science that tells us categorically that the universe had a beginning. So that was Al-Ghazali's second premise, the universe had a beginning. He couldn't quite point to science and explain it all, but that was his belief. But as we sit here today, we're suggesting that Al-Ghazali got it right. The universe had a beginning. And that leads us to the first premise. The first premise is that whatever begins to exist has a cause. Everything that exists, something caused it to exist. For something to begin without any cause is saying something can come into being from nothing. Well, I want to suggest that something cannot come into being from nothing. Atheists believe that the universe just came into being out of nothing for no reason. Does anybody believe that a horse is just going to appear up here beside me on the stage? Nothing's going to cause it. There's no reason for it to do that. It's just going to pop. There it is. There's a horse there. Does anyone believe that while you're here at church, a horse has just popped into your lounge room out of nothing and nothing caused it, and when you're going home, you're going to clean up a terrible mess in your lounge room? You see, Nothing. There's nothing. And nothing is a really difficult concept because we don't understand nothing. We don't have something that describes nothing because nothing is nothing. See, it's not rational, it's not reasonable, it's not logical to believe that something can just appear from nothing. And some people will say, well, you can get something out of nothing because the universe came into being out of a vacuum. Well, the assumption from lay people who say that, people who are outside of the scientific knowledge, is that a vacuum is nothingness, but it's not. According to physics, a vacuum is a sea of fluctuating energy, a sea of violent physical activity which has physical structure and governed by physical laws. So a vacuum is a something. It's not a nothing. See, people in the sciences of physicists, they never say that a vacuum is nothing. You see, when lay people hear, and this applies to theology as well, and things about God, people will latch onto something when they don't actually understand it. They hear it, it sounds impressive, and then they parrot it off to everybody else, and they keep saying exactly the same thing. Oh, well, the universe appeared out of a vacuum. Well, it may have. But who created the vacuum? Because vacuum's not nothing. Nothing doesn't even mean empty space. Nothing means the absence of anything at all. See, even outer space has properties. If it's got properties, it's not nothing. If something can come into being from nothing, why isn't anything and everything just popping up at random all over the place? Why can't cars and money and clothes just pop into being out of nothing and for no reason? What is it about nothingness that can only make universes? It doesn't work. It's not rational. It's not reasonable. It's not logical. And it's at this point that the argument comes from the atheist that says, well, if everything has a cause, then what was God's cause? Well, that isn't what Al-Ghazali said. He said, everything that has a beginning, something caused it, has a cause, something caused it. But God never had a beginning. We're grappling with that just a little bit. God never had a beginning. God is eternal. The Bible tells us that. God has always been there. And atheists are in trouble at this point because they've always believed that the universe already existed. This is an old argument. And scientific evidence is rock solid that the universe had a beginning. So atheists have to have this irrational, unreasonable, illogical belief that the universe just popped into being out of nothingness without any cause, which is a complete contradiction to both science and logic. Yet atheists are scathing in their criticism of faith. Richard Dawkins wrote the book titled The God Delusion. The whole point of the book was, if you have faith in God, or you believe in a God, you are deluded. Quinton Smith, the atheist philosopher at the University of Western Michigan, he said the most rational position, and I'll quote that again, I'll say that again, the most rational position to hold is that the universe came from nothing, by nothing, and for nothing. And that is simply not rational thinking. It doesn't make any sense. Maybe we take Daniel Bennett's view. Daniel Bennett's a prominent atheist philosopher in the US. And he says, well, okay, the universe had a beginning. But the universe must have created itself. Well, that's impossible for the universe to create itself because it would have had to exist before it existed in order to bring itself into existence. And that takes more faith to believe in that than it does to believe in God. You see, the arguments just become silly because people don't want to believe in God. So therefore, how do we justify all of this? And a lot of what gets thrown at us when we actually stop and ask the question, Why do you believe that? There are no answers from a lot of people. They've just heard it, they parrot it off, and they can't answer the question. This is why I believe it. So what's the cause of the universe? Premise two, the universe had a beginning. That's scientific fact. Premise one, well, whatever had a beginning had a cause. The rational, reasonable, logical conclusion is that something, someone, made it happen. In other words, something caused the universe to begin. So if that's the case, what properties does the cause of the universe have to have? Well, the cause of the universe must be outside of time and space. Time and space began when the universe began. Before that, there was nothing. So this cause of the universe must be outside of time and space. We all got that? We're grappling with some pretty deep things here, aren't we? So if you think about it, let's think the universe. Here's the universe, and we're in the universe, and all the stars are in the universe, and everything else is in the universe. The universe is everything. Well, this cause must be outside of it. Not locked into time and space. Not locked into all the things that we know. The cause must be outside. The cause of the universe must be outside of time. Time only began when the universe began. So are you happy to call something that's outside of time and space eternal? This cause is outside of time and space, not locked into the universe, sitting outside of all of that. So this cause, we can call the cause eternal. And since the cause is outside of time, it must be changeless. Time doesn't impact the cause because the cause is sitting outside of time and space. It doesn't age, it doesn't diminish, the cause doesn't mature, the cause doesn't improve with age. And since the cause is not in time and space, it must be non-physical. Even space has physical properties. Are you happy to call something that's outside of time and space spirit? Does that work for us? It's working for me. The cause must be unimaginably powerful. I was trying to think the power that created the universe. I was thinking, what's the most powerful thing I can think of? I was thinking of the nuclear bombs that got dropped on Japan. And those nuclear bombs were so devastating. They destroyed whole cities. They killed, I don't know, is it millions of people in those things? But those couple of nuclear bombs damaged a couple of cities. There's not enough power in those combined nuclear bombs to do anything more than kill a few people and damage a few cities. Those couple of bombs is not going to create the universe. The cause of the universe must be unimaginably powerful. I just think it's beyond comprehension to understand that. And then the cause must be a personal being. See, the cause of the universe must have creativity. We thought about that last week, just the design, this incredible design of the whole universe. So this cause must have creativity, must have design abilities, must have an unbelievable imagination, must have a free will to choose to create the universe just because he can and just because he wants to, with an intelligence beyond anything we can even imagine. And all of those things are a description of a personal being. A tree doesn't have creativity, design abilities, unbelievable imagination, and a free will to just uproot itself and go somewhere else. It doesn't have that. We're talking about something else that is a personal being, intellect, emotions, design ability. And the logical conclusion to Al-Ghazali's theory is that the cause of the universe is an eternal, changeless, all-powerful, all-knowing, creative, personal, spiritual being. Is this starting to sound familiar? Are you awake? Okay. I'm just going to ask the band to come up. I just want to run through a few things as we finish off. The logical conclusion to Al-Ghazali's theory is that the cause of the universe is an eternal, changeless, all-powerful, all-knowing, creative, personal, spiritual being. And the cause of the universe introduced himself through the pages of the Bible. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, it tells us that God is personal. I am the Lord your God. This is a God who speaks. This is a God who's introducing himself to us. This is a God who communicates with everybody and everything. So this God is personal. I am the Lord your God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It tells us that God was the cause of the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. It tells us that God is eternal. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 24 tells us that he is spirit. God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that he doesn't change. The Father of the heavenly lights. It's talking about God who does not change like shifting shadows. And Psalm 65, verses 6 to 8, it describes his power. And again, this is the psalmist talking about God, says, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaming of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the turmoil of the nations, the whole earth is filled with your wonders. The cause of the universe is described in our Bible. All the things that Al-Ghazali might have wanted to say as he thought about who the cause is, it's found in the Bible. And the answer to the question, what's the cause of the universe, is found in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. That includes the matter that didn't already exist. That included time and space, which came into being when he created the universe. Everything. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. The band's going to lead us in a final song, and I just trust that as we try and get our mind around those things, that through the words of this song, we can see Creator of the universe, the God that we love and worship and adore, the reason we're here today, to be together as God's people, because he is our God. Thanks, Josh.